Welcome to the Sober and Happy Podcast, where we talk about all things recovery-related, how to navigate the challenges that we'll face along the way on our journey towards our best lives, and how we could go from living a life of simply just being sober to a life where we're both sober and happy. A couple of weeks ago, I posted the following question on my social media accounts. What signs might indicate a relapse is near? I got hundreds of responses, and after going through each one, I compiled a list of the top 7 relapse warning signs according to you guys. Recognizing them is the first step, but what should we do once we recognize them, and how can we be proactive in not slipping back into them again? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So buckle up. This is going to be a great episode. Welcome back. Relapses often seem to come out of the middle of nowhere. However, there are usually warning signs that lead up to them, and if we learn to recognize them, we could begin to make changes before they happen. Now, I'm going to be skimming over these topics and focusing on the signs to recognize them and how to understand them better. To thoroughly go through solutions to combat them, this episode would be a couple of hours long. Don't worry, though. I'm not going to leave you hanging. If you look in the show notes of this episode, I'm going to list several episodes that will help you break free from the cycle of many of these relapse warning signs. So let's get started with number 7, which is fantasizing about the good old days. Many of us have this tendency to romanticize the past. We may begin to look back and think that life was better, easier, or more fun back then. So why do we tend to fantasize about the good old days? Well, there are several reasons. For one, nostalgia has a way of distorting our memories. The further we get away from the pain of being in the middle of addiction, we may start to forget the struggles, pain, and chaos that it caused, and instead start to focus on the brief moments of pleasure that it provided while failing to recognize the consequences that came with it. We are in dangerous territory once we start to do this. First, when we are living in the past, we're not able to fully embrace the present and no longer can see a brighter future. We're living in a fantasy at this point, which will only lead to disappointment, frustration, and ultimately, relapse. When we catch ourselves doing this, we must bring ourselves back to the present and deal with whatever we're trying to avoid. Then we must shift our focus back to envisioning and working towards a brighter future. Next is number 6, which is becoming complacent and no longer working on personal growth. When things seem to be going well, it is really easy to set the cruise control and begin to coast through our recovery. We permit ourselves to take a day off. Then a day turns into a week, which turns into a month, and then the next thing we know, things are no longer going well, and we often tell ourselves, "I don't know how this happened." Complacency could sneak up on us. It's that feeling of being good enough or thinking that we've overcome our addiction so completely that we no longer need to put in as much effort. The danger of complacency lies in its ability to erase the progress that we've made. If you go to the gym consistently for months, you're going to get stronger. But if you take a month off, you're not going to be able to jump right back into the same exercise routine you were doing just a month ago. It's the same in recovery. You don't know when the randomness of life is going to smack you in the head with an event that you need to be your strongest to face. Complacency could lead to a false sense of security, making us vulnerable to relapse. Next up is number 5, which is still obsessing about alcohol or drugs. We are all going to face this at some point. Quitting the substance only solves the physical part of the addiction. But the biggest battle is often our mental and emotional attachment to our vices. Our brains are wired to seek out familiar patterns, and for many of us, addiction has been the only familiar thing we have known for a long time. Our whole lives revolved around it. When we were happy, we drank to celebrate. When we were bored, we drank. Lonely, angry, depressed, or anxious, guess what? We drank. We habitually hit the liquor store on the way home from work. We met our friends for happy hour every Friday after work. The substance became so engraved in all aspects of our life that it was the only familiar thing our minds know. So when we remove the substance, our brains naturally freak out. When we don't begin to create new habits and new patterns of familiarity, the obsession is only going to keep growing until it seems completely unbearable, which is when we are most prone to relapse. Next up is number 4, which is when we start hanging out with our old friends or start going back to our old environments. This is probably one of the toughest realities most of us face when we get sober. We're going to have to give up many parts of our old lives, which often includes many people that we considered our friends. Here's the harsh reality. This always will start pulling us back into our destructive patterns. It's not that these people or places are inherently bad, but they are often deeply associated with our addictive behaviors. They could trigger memories, emotions, and temptations that we've worked so hard to overcome. Now, I tried this fresh out of rehab because I still wanted to shoot in a weekly pool tournament at my local bar. The people there did not pressure me to drink and were surprisingly supportive of me quitting drinking. However, after every Thursday night pool tournament I played in, the weekend was a complete hell as I battled the obsession to drink that was fueled by my returning to my old lifestyle. I had to ask myself, what is more important? Gambling every week with my sobriety just so I could go to the bar and see my drinking buddies, or choosing my sobriety? I chose sobriety, and I'm certain that if I made the other choice, you would not be listening to me on this podcast right now. We have to make tough choices in recovery, and this likely is going to be your biggest one. Number 3 on this list is one that I honestly am most prone to this day, and that is isolation. Isolation can be very common among people in recovery and can start for many reasons. One might be from what we just talked about in the last point. Often we have to give up a large part of our life and find ourselves without the people, places, and things that we used to do, and just end up sitting at home instead of seeking out new experiences and making new friends. Many of us also have used alcohol as a social lubricant and find socializing very challenging without it. But often it starts innocently enough as a way to cope with stress, shame, or other negative emotions. However, over time, isolation can become a vicious cycle that can become very dangerous. Isolation reinforces feelings of loneliness as we cut off meaningful connections with others. This lack of connection could lead to increased feelings of depression and anxiety. A huge danger for me with isolation is that I'm stuck at home with only my thinking, and my mind, left unsupervised, come up with some very bad ideas. And when I'm not talking things through with other people, it's very easy to start justifying many damaging thoughts and behaviors. And once I start slipping into bad habits, that could start the ball rolling towards a relapse. Now, number 2 on the list is a combination of anger, resentment, and mood swings. All of these emotions are common in early recovery as our bodies and brains adjust to life without the substance. However, when they persist or return after a long period of being dormant, that is a major red flag. We usually point to the thing that set us off as the reason that we are angry. However, with each of these, there is usually something underlying that is the actual cause, and we're just using anger as a coping mechanism not to address the bigger underlying issue. We often use it as a way to mask pain, fear, or shame. However, unchecked anger or resentment could have serious consequences. It could cause more damage to the relationships that we're trying to heal within our recovery. When we allow these emotions to fester and consume us, it could lead us back to old destructive habits. That is why it's crucial to develop healthy coping mechanisms to manage them. If you're finding these completely uncontrollable, it could be helpful to seek out therapy or support groups to learn and develop those coping strategies. Now to number 1, which was a most mentioned relapse warning sign by a landslide, which is when we stop reaching out to our support group. This could happen for various reasons. Sometimes we feel overconfident in our recovery, thinking that we no longer need support. Other times, life's distractions may lead us to prioritize other things over keeping in touch with our recovery circle. Whatever the reason, the consequences can be severe. Without regular connection to our support groups, we lose that accountability factor. We may start to neglect the positive changes we made that were reinforced through interactions with our support group. The risk of relapse increases significantly when we isolate ourselves from the very support systems designed to help us stay on track. I know many people in the comments said that they didn't have a support group at all. If you're looking for one, I suggest checking out the Sober and Happy Facebook community. I'll put a link in the show notes for you. If you have listened to my podcast in the past, you will know that I am a big supporter of you doing whatever recovery method works for you. It is important to find your circle and stay in it. If AA meetings are working for you, then you should be going to them. If you've developed a great support group outside of 12-step recovery, it's important to stay connected to them. It is once we stop doing what has worked for us that we're in danger. We often can overcomplicate addiction and recovery. Sometimes it is as simple as continuing to do what is working and stop doing what isn't. Awareness is the key, and hopefully this episode has given you some insight into helping you become more aware. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here's your weekly challenge. If you recognize yourself in any of the warning signs in this episode, I want you to take an active step to address this. If you've been isolating, send a text to a friend and ask if you could meet up with them. If you have stopped reaching out to your support group, find time to reconnect. We can't just ignore these things and hope that they go away. Take action today. That is my challenge for you this episode. New episodes come out each Friday, so I look forward to connecting with you next week. And as always, thank you so much for listening, and keep living sober and happy.